Ready, Carla?
Yes.
You bringing this many amendments at the last minute? That's very bad form.
That new?
Yeah, from your office.
Don't let him tease you like that. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the March 5th meeting of the Portland City Council. Would you please call the roll, Carla?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Novick?
Here.
Hales?
Here. And we have one item before us. Would you read that for us, please, Carla?
Item 251, adopt the West Quadrant Plan as direction for updating the Central City Plan.
Okay. Welcome, everyone. Let me set the stage for this afternoon's discussion. We had, of course, a very lengthy hearing on the proposed West Quadrant Plan a month ago. This is a quadrant plan that is providing direction in the development of the Central City Plan, part of the city's comprehensive plan, dealing with economic activity, dealing with housing, access to the river, habitat, lots of issues. So again, we had a lengthy hearing in which some of you who are here today probably participated. We've also received quite a bit of written communications as well. We've literally heard from hundreds of people on this hearing, on this piece of work, and we appreciate it. We have a process today to put before the council a series of proposed amendments that we're going to hear about in groups from our Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff, and then have council action to take up those amendments and decide which ones we want to discuss and which ones we want to adopt, and then we'll take testimony on the amendments that are before the council. So with that, I want to call up Susan Anderson and Joe Zender to walk us through the first part of that process.
And to be clear, Mayor, we are proposing to go through the amendments to decide whether or not to put them on the table for discussion, not to say that we...
To adopt them for discussion purposes. I've been retrained to not say put them on the table, because in parliamentary procedure that means to put them on the shelf. So I've had to retrain myself to not say it like you said it, because that's how, well, it was my habit as well. But we will have council action to consider those amendments and then take public testimony on them.
All right. Good afternoon. Mayor, Council, Susan Anderson, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. And with me, Joe Zender, Sally Edmonds, and Carl Lyle, who I almost forgot his name because he's left us and is now working for the Office of Management and Finance. He was stolen from us.
That'll come back to haunt you.
Yeah, I think it will. So there you go.
Oh, what's his name?
Yeah, it's nice what's to have his name? Who did all the work here? So I want to start by echoing the mayor and thanking the public for their time, their thoughtful involvement. Since we were here last, we've had dozens, if not hundreds, of conversations around policy issues, specific actions, and specific proposed zoning changes. From these discussions and from numerous discussions with your staff and with you as individuals, we've put together a very large package of amendments. In a minute, we'll review them. As the mayor mentioned, we're going to do it in bundles. Hopefully, we've set up a process and some documentation there that will make it easy to walk through all of the amendments. Before we get to that, though, I want to once again remind you all that at this time, we are just passing a resolution. It's an interim step to the final Central City Plan. Today's resolution will provide BPS with very specific policy direction. We'll be back again in front of you in a few months with a similar resolution for the Central East Side. And then we will merge the quadrant plans together, come back to you with the overall Central City Plan, and that's when you will adopt it by ordinance, including the zoning code recommendations at that time. There's any questions about the process?
I just want to do a thank you before we get started. We all have our cheat sheets that you've prepared, and there may be some people in the room wondering how we square this with our policy on paper usage and the Climate Action Plan, but it's actually set up this way so that I can read it. So I just want to thank you for setting it up in such a logical way and also using fonts that I can read. So I really appreciate it.
I'll hand it over to Joe.
Okay, just this will be very brief. I'm Joe Zunder with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. We're talking about the West Quadrant today, shown on the map. It's the west side of the central city, the side of the central city west of the Willamette, from the Pearl District in the north, South Waterfront in the south, and Goose Hollow in the east, or the west. It's an adoption of the policy direction plan by resolution. We're going to come back to you, as Susan said, later with the adopting and implementing code. So some of the direction today you're giving us is which just sort of provisions to build into that code, and we will come back with options. The way the testimony is organized, you just saw the document from Commissioner Fish. It's all the amendments that we got from city council offices and the testimony organized into five sort of groups. We have a group on the Willamette River Environment and Parks. We have a group on building heights and step down to the river. We have a group on required residential development overlay. Mostly this is in the Goose Hollow. A miscellaneous group. And then finally, the last group are changes to the action tables. And those really focus on changes to either timing, moving it up or moving it back in terms of when the implementation action might take place, or who the implementer or the lead implementer is. So all that's what's in your package. The table itself identifies the source of the proposed amendment. As you read across from right to left, the location in the plan for the specific reference, and all these are based on the West Quadrant Plan document that was distributed to you at your first hearing. Proposed language that is the amendment, and then on the far left in staff's recommendation, the reasoning and staff recommendation, and on the far right side is a box that says discuss or not, and the mayor's going to lead us through the process of identifying which of these to discuss individually. And which to consider as consent. The second document for today is this 8.5 by 11 West Quadrant Plan additional amendments. And here we have seven additional amendments that sort of came in after we made the big document. So I want to make sure you have all the paper. So it'll says West Quadrant Plan additional amendments.
Make sure everybody has that.
I'm not sure we all have that.
I don't know if I have that.
Carla, do you have those?
I think we'll have extras here. Yeah, we'll go get some from outside to make sure everyone.
Oh, there we go.
Thank you.
Make sure we've got enough of those.
You have it, Commissioner Fish.
Others need those as well. So okay.
These are ones from this morning predominantly.
Hans got them, but we need maybe a couple more sets up here.
So there's seven amendments on this list that you'll see when it comes. And these were brought, like I say, like Susan said, they came in the last couple of days after we had already prepared the other sheet. And just to get a sense of what's in this package, you'll see there's a proposed amendment directing staff on the development of a new bonus system proposal to bring back to you all. There's reiteration of the no net loss of housing policy. There's some discussion of the reconfiguration of the Morrison Bridgehead ramps and a freight movement. And then once again, there's a couple that are just changes to the action table timing and implementers. So it'll be the same drill. Some of those you may want to discuss, some you may feel like can go on the consent list. And with that, I'll turn it back to the mayor.
Okay. So let's start stepping our way into this, and that is, in both of these. Yeah, so we should consider these as a package for purposes of taking action on the consent list, right?
Correct.
So ones that are not checked.
That is,
and are therefore, the staff does not believe that the council wants to discuss. Okay, the ones that have no check on the word discuss. We believe that those amendments are consensus amendments based on the hearing and on council discussion. During and subsequent to the hearing. So
I move that package as package consent A.
Okay. Now, and is there a second to that?
These are the ones that are not checked.
Not checked.
Second.
Okay. Now, does anybody on the council want to remove anything from that consent list and discuss it? Because we can do that and then take action on the remainder. Now, again, I know there's a long list here, but we believe that there are no issues that council members want to discuss on all those that are not checked.
And Mayor, just to be clear, we've been given in advance of this hearing the cheat sheet.
Right.
We've also been given individual briefings on the ones that don't have a check, which just means that the Bureau doesn't have an objection, they're not aware of an objection, so they have presented them as the potential for a block of consent items. But now we have a chance to scrub that to see whether we want to take something out.
Right.
And for those watching at home who may not have access to, well, who don't have access to this document, the three that are not, that are being proposed to be adopted on consent are a set of action items for affordable housing, specifying pretty much our current policy. One, to remove the Water Bureau and Portland Bureau of Transportation from the interagency team proposed to provide coordinated environmental permit reviews, streamlining, and then also to delete an action item from this Old Town Chinatown section because it's the same as one in the Central City section.
Okay, so any further discussion about that? And so then, again, for those of you who are following this process, again, we've got this long document with amendments 1 through 72, plus this document from today that are amendments A through G. And if we pass this motion, we will have adopted the amendments marked with no check mark under the word discuss, and those will be before the council for deliberation today. So some of those amendments change things, some of them don't change things, some of them change language, but that's the action that we'll be taking by this vote. So all comfortable with where we are and ready to move forward on that vote? Okay.
What about where the Bureau doesn't agree with the amendment, but it's not checked for discuss?
That means we're not adopting that amendment.
No.
So,
no.
Right?
No.
Sorry.
So, for instance, number 22 is one of my amendments on Waterfront Park, and BPS recommendation is staff does not support, but then the check mark, the box is not checked to say that we're going to discuss that.
So the way it works is that if we didn't check the box, we're suggesting that you would not like to discuss those items. In some cases, we've agreed, and in some cases, we've disagreed with the recommendation. And we've gone and talked to your offices about that. And so the question really still before you is, are there items that we did not check that you still want to pull off the consent?
No, my question is...
22 is an error. The whole Waterfront Park package, there's a number of those were supposed to be checked, Commissioner, so we missed 22. So it should be checked as well.
Right, I think this
the
is
same
this
as 18. There's several
24.
Of them that are related to Waterfront Park that we wanted to discuss.
Okay, 18 is checked on mine.
Right, and 22 should have been checked.
And 24. And 24 now is checked.
24
so I just want to make sure that
you were reading
where
it
there's
right.
a disagreement between the request and the Bureau of Planning,
right.
we're going to discuss all of those.
Discuss those, yes. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Not just
yes.
taking one side or the other without discussion.
Correct.
Right.
That was our intent.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so we are checking number 22 then so that 20, we can
yeah.
discuss it, right?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. So, again, any further questions or concerns by the council before we adopt the BPS recommendation.
Mr. Mayor, sorry to interrupt. It's possible that the council might want to consider, just to clarify, moving and introducing each bundle, and then that's enough to get it, I'll say, on the table for consideration, and then save an actual vote
okay.
until after the hearing and
okay.
discussion.
So, okay, so we're approving for consideration.
Correct.
So the motion is to approve for our consideration the consent list.
Package A,
amendments that we're not going to discuss further at this point.
And that's sufficient for now.
Okay, thank you. All right. Roll call then, please.
Fritz?
Sorry, I think I wasn't clear. By sufficient, I think we don't necessarily need a vote on the amendments at this point. They can be introduced, seconded.
Seconded,
then
okay.
they're before you for consideration, and then you can move forward.
You know, we often do that. We have the vote in any event. That's by practice. Is that redundant?
No, it's not necessarily redundant. I think it just leaves open the possibility that if something develops in the course of the discussion, then you can revisit the amendments, and you won't have actually voted to adopt them if you don't vote now. Does that make sense?
Well, and I think it's clearer for everybody who's waiting to give us their opinion
that's fine
without voting. Right. If we don't vote on it now, otherwise it could appear that we've already made up our minds on that.
There's that too.
Well, maybe it's
right.
Also,
well, the only other concern here. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Commissioner Fish. No,
I think sometimes I think that we may also be dealing with the difference between a resolution and an ordinance.
Yeah, this is a resolution.
Because what we typically do is adopt an amendment. And we're going to say lay it on the table because I think it just is the more common sense knowledge, even
right.
though the mayor is correct, it means we tabled it, and then take testimony on it. But as long as the public understands that we're putting this package before them for consideration.
Right.
And if a second is sufficient, then you've told us that's enough.
I think it's sufficient at this point.
Okay. Then we'll consider that put on the table for discussion. I'll go back to my old language because we just were told that we can. And again, later we're going to take public testimony on the amendments that are before the council, only on amendments that are before the council. Okay, now, then our next step is to start taking up council discussion of the amendments that have been checked for discussion in groups. And then after that, we'll see if there are any additional amendments from members of the council that people want to propose. Okay, so the first group deal with habitat issues, and they are amendments number 7 through 11, right?
Correct.
So why don't you walk us briefly through those? So.
I'm going to ask Mindy Brooks to join us. And I'm going to advance this. And here's a graphic of the Central City to support the explanation. Take it away, Mindy.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Mindy Brooks with Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Amendments 7 through 11 on the table are a package related to fish and wildlife habitat improvements in the Central Reach. And as Joe just said, the map on the screen represents the full habitat strategy there. So the package of amendments includes three parts, an updated updated policy, a clarified target, and three actions within this reach. And I want to let you know that we worked closely with Bureau of Environmental Services to develop this package. The first thing we did is we removed the numeric target from the policy language.
Be clear, when you say you work with BES on the package, you're talking about the revised package that's before us today.
That is correct, yes. So the first step is we removed the numeric target from the policy. So the policy language, and that would be number 7, reads like a policy. And then second, we moved that numeric target from the Riverbank Enhancement and Restoration memo that was located in the back in Appendix C. We pulled that up into the body of the document. So the target now reads to enhance 2.4 miles of riverbanks and restore at least 5 shallow water areas in the Central Reach with at least 2 sites located on each side of the riverbank. So that target's now within the body, would now be within the body of the document. And third, we drafted 3 actions that would achieve that target. The first action is an overarching action, and it's to develop an action plan to enhance and restore fish and wildlife habitat. We expect that to take about 2 to 5 years. But we want to get started on something sooner. So the second action is to perform a feasibility study on 2 locations in the Central Reach. And then the third action is actually to choose one of those, the most feasible of those, and design and actually implement the project. So staff feel this package will improve fish and wildlife habitat in the near term and set up an approach to achieving the long-term targets. That's just a quick summary. I'd be happy to take any questions you have.
Okay, questions on this package?
So, Mayor, are we going to call 7 through 11 its own cluster?
Yes.
So we're going to call this package B?
We can.
Just to keep it.
I like that system. So package B is the habitat group that's just been described. You want us to go ahead and take a motion on each of those
Let's take up a discussion on this.
Okay.
Let me just offer, as by way of commentary, that there's been some extensive conversations between BPS, BES, your office, and others over these. I am the commissioner in charge of BES, and these are now a total of five items, and I can, on behalf of my bureau, we concur in the BPS recommended changes on all five.
Okay.
And I would move this as package B.
Second.
Okay. Any further discussion on putting this package on the table with the rest? Okay. Done. So that's before us as well. Now let's move to package C, which is the waterfront park amendments 18, 24, and 69, correct?
18, 24, 22.
22.
We just added 57 and 69. And I'll ask Debbie Bischoff to join me to explain sort of the thrust of this package.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Debbie Bischoff, Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. These four items are related to Waterfront Park. One is related to the master plan update and the timeline that it would happen. At this point, there was a recommendation for changing it to 6 to 20 years from Commissioner Fritz and Parks. We heard a lot of testimony and a lot of public discussion through our stakeholder advisory committee and at public events and meetings that this is a high priority, and we would recommend as staff retaining the 2 to 5 year timeline for updating it, recognizing that the funding of such an endeavor would need to be accomplished. On 22, the one that we just took off consent, that is one that talks about creating visual cues from street corridors, attracting people from the district to the park. And it is one that, again, was recommended to be, it goes with the Waterfront Park Master Plan update. Again, the timeline is the question at hand here. As is the same with item 24, which looks at incorporating plantings at Waterfront Park. And I think that we as Bureau of Planning staff feel that this particular action, it's not meant to be all along the Willamette. It's meant to be focused. It's part of the downtown district plan and really focused on Waterfront Park. And again, the timeline issue is still the same there. On number 57, I think, is another one that we were related to the park. Okay, and this one involves the Willamette Greenway Trail. This is one where both we've heard from the commissioners in charge of parks and transportation. It's about improving the Willamette Greenway Trail to reduce conflicts, user conflicts, improve access, et cetera, and access to the river and to within the trail area. This one, we recommend that both bureaus be co-leads because there are portions of our Willamette Greenway Trail that are not within the park itself and that are in the right-of-way. Examples would be around Centennial Mills and also around 4th and Carruthers in the Southeast District. And then the last one is 69, which is one that we are now, if you look at the amendment sheet that was handed out today, it's item G, and after further review and discussion with both Office of Transportation staff and park staff, we realized that, and looking at this plan, that this action is covered by a central citywide action, WR1, and also another Old Town Chinatown transportation action, TR4. So we feel that this TR5 is no longer necessary. And I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, so the number 69 is no longer necessary, right?
Correct.
Because it's been encompassed in the action that we took in G. Okay. Okay, so first we want to see on these other four, do you want to unbundle those or take them as a group? Let's see.
18, 24, 57, and 69. Are those the
18,
four?
22, 24, and 57.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
No,
so yes.
If I might just speak to them.
Sure.
I recognize that the Waterfront Park Master Plan was something that the community was very much wanting to get done within 2 to 5 years. We don't have the funding to do so within the five-year plan for Portland Parks and Recreation. And even if we did, the problem is we have a master plan that we haven't implemented. The problem is we don't have the money to implement the current plan, never mind a new plan. So it's really important to me to be clear about what we're promising, and we have to look citywide at where we're putting our parks resources. Yes, I understand that if the downtown, the folks who are involved in this planning process have one parks project that they'd like to do, the Waterfront Park Master Plan would be their top priority, it sounds like. I have to look citywide. We have 13 parks in East Portland that don't have any master plan, and funding for just two or three of those to get a master plan. And so we're not going to be able to get to this and in the time frame that was requested in the plan.
So could I better understand, Debbie, your staff's view on this? And I recognize that Waterfront Park serves the whole city. And so this is a citywide issue, and we can debate whether it's also an equity issue, but it ultimately is a funding issue. And since we are trying not to commit to things that we can't fund, how do you reconcile the more aggressive timeline that you're recommending with Commissioner Fritz's concern about the resources to implement it?
Well, if I could jump in, I think the Waterfront Park and its improvement and its role, potential role, current and potential role in the life of the Central City or the West Quad was a major topic of discussion. I think it's fair to say that people latched on to updating the plan as a way to start action, but the commissioners is right. We do have a plan and haven't been able to implement it. So even more aggressively seeking, to, in the spirit of the SAC, where this recommendation came from, either through incrementally or just in pieces, improvements to the waterfront park consistent with the current plan, I think would have met the intent of this the stakeholder advisory committee as well. So it's not some, they latched on to doing the plan as a way to cause action. If there were other ways to cause action to move forward, to start to see improvements and increase the utilization of the park, that was really, I think, the desire, that would be also consistent. So I don't know that it would be, their recommendation was redo the plan. I don't think that was necessarily informed by an inherent belief in the inadequacy of the current plan. You know, I don't think they got into it that deeply, but they felt action in the park and improvements to the park was an important part, and sooner better than later.
Mayor, Parks Director Mike Abate is here. Could I ask him to come forward and just give his perspective?
Sure. Come on, Mike.
Thank you, Commissioner, Mayor. I think actually Joe said it quite well. There is a master plan for Waterfront Park that was completed in 2002 with action items beginning in 2003, and it hasn't been implemented. And so many of the ideas, I think, that drove that plan 10 years ago are still current. For example, creating better access to the river, paving some surfaces so that we could hold support events with minimal impact. A number of the ideas, lowering the seawall, creating closer access to the river. All of those things are in the plan. There's just never been follow-through in terms of funding implementation.
So the reverse question I guess I would ask to you, because I understand the Parks Bureau's perspective on this, but Waterfront Park affects a lot of entities other than just the Parks Bureau. So what's the harm in updating the plan, even if we haven't implemented a lot of it?
I don't know that there's harm. I mean, it would be an expenditure, Mr. Mayor. I think those interests had input into this plan, the plan that was done in 2002, and even going back and checking to see, as Joe said, is there inherent belief that there's some shortcomings in the current plan?
Mike, what would it cost to update this plan, ballpark?
Well, I think it's probably $250,000-$300,000. I mean, it's a major, major effort, primarily because of its interest, its significance in the city, the number of folks that would want to have a say.
So the two issues that often come up around master plans and parks, one is the cost, and two is the bandwidth issue. And you've got a lot of other things in the queue. Which is a more significant, if money was not an issue, if the mayor announced that he's going to fund it out of one-time money, what's the bandwidth issue for you?
Well, Commissioner, if funding is meant to include the staff required to develop a plan.
Take money out of it for a second, just
right.
so we have a sense about the capacity question falling on your shoulders.
If there were no additional funds and we were asked to take this on, it's a very major effort, which would mean that we would have to postpone some planning efforts that we currently have underway.
And if you got the funding, a supplemental funding for this project in the next 5 years, does that change the equation?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, yes, because we would be able to hire the staff that could run contracts.
But we would still be at the same place in the end, that we wouldn't have the money to implement the plan.
Well, that's often the case with master plans. I guess I'm troubled by that at a level that I want to get them all done. But I'm troubled by waiting much longer to update this plan personally, because I think I see other things happening in other either in other bureaus or by other ventures. I believe we're going to build the James Beard Public Market in the next 5 years. In fact, less than that, if the people in the room have their way. I think we might implement parts of the city's bike plan, particularly the part that affects NATO Parkway, sooner rather than later. So therefore, having this plan updated to reflect those changes or to be congruent with the increased likelihood of those changes, to me, seems like planning work we ought to do. This year, maybe soon, I hope. I think it's waiting six or eight or 10 years to update the plan is troubles me as just too long, given how dynamic this part of the city appears that it's going to be in the near term.
We haven't yet heard the inner southeast quadrant plan, where there's a huge need for parks planning. We know of our problems in East Portland. If there was going to be $300,000 of one-time money, I would actually put it towards fixing the Charles Jordan Community Center roof, which we've been sued because it's leaking so badly that people slip on the slippery floor, rather than doing another planning process where we don't have any foreseeable way to pay for the improvements.
I don't know if any foreseeable is quite as bad as it is. So I hear you, but I understand the concern. But I think this is an area, my personal opinion, where we need to be ready for change. So, okay, others in this package that we want to discuss, other individual items? Okay, and now is it? No, we haven't put these on the table yet. So,
actually, Mayor, I have a question, which is, does it make no logical sense to divide these up at all, or could one draw some distinctions? Because, for example, it seems like on item 24, there's a timing issue, but there's also an issue of whether, instead of improve habitat by strategically incorporating native plants and trees in Tahmacall Waterfront Park, we add the words, and along the Willamette. And it seems to me that that's a slightly different question than the timing issue, but I could
sure.
be wrong.
Yes. Part of this is I don't think we need to vote at the very end on all of these as a package. You could pull one out and say, well, I agree with these two, but I want this one separated out when you're at the very end. But we wanted to package them together, especially for discussion by members of the public being able to come in and talk to several at one point.
And given that many of these amendments, certainly the dozens that I put on, were only announced last week, it seems unreasonable to expect that we're going to be able to vote at the end of this today's session anyway, that we may want.
Well, remember, this is a resolution. I mean, this guides future planning work. We're not adopting code or capital plans here. We're adopting a resolution that's giving people instructions for the work they're going to do. So,
yes, and I want to make sure that I've had time to fully digest all of the information that I've heard and make sure that everything is the I's and T's across. For instance, I just noticed 21, which was not marked for discussion, was our proposal, instead of doing the Waterfront Park Master Plan, to develop a plan to improve the Hawthorne Bowl area of Waterfront Park. So I think both staff and our offices are going to want to make sure that whatever outcomes we get to close to the end of today, we then come back and make sure that they all fit together properly.
Okay. Well, let's take that question up later, but for now, you're recommending that we first see if there's support for the package and then unbundle any pieces of it after that?
Yes. Okay. And I'd reiterate what I think you were saying, Mayor, which is we are absolutely sure that there are things in the north northeast quadrant plan that you adopted, for example, that you were pretty sure of that changed because now we've learned about this. And when we get to the southeast quadrant plan, I'm absolutely sure, even if we voted next week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks from now, there will be items. It's very iterative. And that's why we're bringing it all back together. The sooner we can move on, I think I don't want to be messy about it, but I feel like we've been pretty specific in marching through it.
Yeah, it's not comp plan language, and it's code.
It's not code yet.
So yeah. It's instructions to the Bureau. We can be close. Okay, is there a motion to adopt this package or to put this package on the table?
Well, it's for discussion because I want to hear what the community has to say. Right. Yes, so moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, let's move on to...
Let's call that Package C.
Yep, Package C. Package D is the Greenway Trail.
Package D is Bridgehead Heights.
What number is that?
Oh, I'm sorry, that was 57.
Correct.
Right.
Number 40.
Yeah, Bridgehead Heights, number 40.
And this one is focused primarily on the Morrison Bridgehead and the Hawthorne Bridgehead and consideration of those were the two locations where increases over the current height limits were proposed at Morrison to support greater activity and actually development flexibility and feasibility for an important but a tough site. And it's also the site of the public market. And in Hawthorne's case, it was, again, to provide development flexibility for an area where we have pretty high floor area ratios already, and it also, coincidentally, is the location of the proposed Multnomah County Courthouse that needs some height as well.
And just to clarify, what I should have stated was that I'm just proposing to keep the 75-foot on NATO Parkway. The height increases behind there are not troubling to me. It's just the 75 feet around the off-ramps.
So, Joe, I have a couple questions. On the proposed courthouse, The county has said they might need to go as high as what?
Well, we may be 280 is the latest we've heard. We prepared this recommendation on some older information that was 250 is what they were thinking. 280 is what we've heard most recently. They may be prepared to testify today, but...
Okay. And again, the staff recommendation is to not lower the heights in these two bridgeheads.
Yeah.
So it is.
Tell me again why you proposed 325 for the Hawthorne bridgehead anyway, if they only need 280 even?
The Hawthorne bridgehead has pretty high floor area ratios, up to 12-1 with a bonus. Some are large floor plates, some are small floor plates. What you're trying to do is give the envelope of the building some flexibility so it actually can fit in there successfully. The kind of program that's allowed by the FAR, even for the courthouse, has a difficulty fitting in the height envelope that those particular parcels have, because it's actually a little bit of a constrained parcel. So because of the FARs, because of the kind of closeness of what amounts to it's a office core to the riverfront, and the fact that most of this area, this particular bridgehead, will be developed for commercial uses, not residential uses, we thought additional height was warranted.
Okay, any more questions about this before we see if there's support to keep it in the package or put it in the package? So is there a motion on number 40?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Don't hear a second on that.
We're supposed to be having a public hearing and a discussion.
No, I don't. I think we've had the lack of a second, Commissioner, so that one's not in the package. So let's move on to what we'll now call package E, which is just number 43, right?
Number 43. This is another height-related amendment. For the basically the Pearl District waterfront that includes Centennial Mill, number 43, or the staff proposal was to increase allowable heights up to 250 feet from today's height of 175, and to make the ability to access that additional height only achievable through an exchange for enhanced greenway dedication. This is it's a relatively narrow site, and actually it's a pretty challenged site, honestly. And the public access to the greenway there is critically important, and in a lot of our plans as a great sort of opportunity for public access to the river. So if we can open up additional height that allows greater flexibility in the design and arrangement of buildings on this site, and use that as a way to, in exchange, get a wider or enhanced greenway. That was the thinking behind staff and the stakeholder advisory committee in supporting increased height in this particular location.
Carla, can I ask you a question? This is the first time I remember where we've been able to look at a PowerPoint and also see someone testify. Is that a new technology breakthrough?
Yeah, it's the new PCM guy, David. He's doing that.
Well, let's acknowledge that, because what often happens is you can't see the person testifying, and now we can actually do both. So,
impressive.
Just remember, you're now on camera, Joe, when we're doing the PowerPoint.
Thank you for that warning.
You can put a little piece of tape over the. So, the language there crosses out the words "or provision of greenway enhancements," but is that because we're not any longer going to consider greenway enhancements, or because they're otherwise covered?
Because I thought the discussion that we had last time was talking about affordable housing as the main reason for doing bonuses, and preservation of historic resources a secondary one. To me, the greenway issues are not related, should not be related to the height bonuses.
Okay. Well, square this for me. I'm help me with some of my own confusion here with item A in our supplemental packet that talks about how we're studying bonuses and transfers overall.
Yes, this does conflict with that, and in this way. The new item A is directing us to come back to you all with a sort of a economically tested and redesigned bonus system that puts priority on affordable housing, historic preservation, and public open space.
And seismic.
So this would be a location where what we'd come back is to try to show you what potential, the feasibility, honestly, of are the likelihood of getting additional greenway improvements, public open space improvements on this particular site in exchange for height increases. I don't believe we're talking about increasing FAR here. it may be as a when we bring the results back to you that it shows it doesn't pencil, and then that would obviate this kind of possibility. But we want to give it a run and examine it. That's the spirit of this particular recommendation.
I mean, is this not in fact diluting our bonuses? I mean, if we want to focus on affordable housing and preservation and seismic, aren't we? Is this amendment?
We're going
that pie.
No. It's actually we're bringing back the results of the analysis in May, and part of what I want to be able to show the commission is these kind of trade-off, Commissioner, that you would be making. To have a targeted and successful bonus system, we are going to want to eliminate a lot of the bonuses that you can get today and focus them. And what I want to be able to show you all is with a very tight, what if you just had one bonus? What are the pros and cons of that? And so it will come back as part of that discussion. And as I was just suggesting, for our purposes now, it's one we want to take a look at. I can't guarantee that it's going to work financially just because of the value of height isn't that much for what we're getting here. Or you may find that it doesn't work because you really want to devote more attention to other things. This doesn't rise above the bar as a transfer or bonus that you want to offer. This motion just leaves it on the table for that evaluation when we come back.
And also part of that is when we come back for the entire Central City plan, I think what we want to be able to do is put the three or four a key potential bonus and have that real discussion about which one is most important that you really want to focus on. Do you want to just have that? Do you want to have a point system like some cities have where if affordable housing is the most important, it gets more points per se than the Greenway or something else. And those are hard decisions that in the past we've just kind of threw them all in there and said they were all equal, and that wasn't a good way to do
it. Yeah, that's what I want to avoid.
Okay.
So, and your recommendation is to approve this amendment as it is before us, right?
Correct. And then we'll revisit it.
Are we on 42 or 43?
43.
And Commissioner Fritz, what is your position on the BPS recommendation to this amendment?
I would take it out, but.
Wait, I'm sorry. We are on waterfront, both.
42 and 43.
So, Commissioner Fritz, you're the sponsor of this. Do you feel you have clarity about what staff has said, or is this still?
I am really, if you look at your book, the front of your book, I am really troubled at the height increases all along the waterfront. And you can see at the Morrison Bridgehead how currently there isn't a couple of two thumbs sticking up. So I'm concerned in the Pearl District also about having very high buildings next to the Greenway and making it very difficult to do a step down to the river.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to understand the difference between your amendment and their commentary. What's the?
Their commentary keeps in the possibility of allowing more height in response to the Greenway bonus. Well, admittedly, we do need more money for the Greenway because we're not getting system development charges from Old Town Chinatown, but I don't think that the two are not congruent. The height should be for something that benefits that particular property, not that particular area, and it should be for affordable housing or historic preservation, and that's it.
But that's what they have here.
No, they're proposing to do seismic upgrades and public accessible open space.
The 42 is really focused on a different part of the Pearl District, although it could conceivably apply to the Pearl waterfront. But if you remember in the plan, the sort of southern part of the Pearl, we have a proposal to increase heights up to 250 feet from a variety of heights now, but let's say 175. And the only way to get to that height in the southern part of the Pearl is by transfer from a historic property, or it could be also, Commissioner, that's what the Stakeholder Advisory Committee requested that we focus on. but it also could be the affordable housing bonus, and we'll bring that package back that you can consider it. But what the Pearl District Association and our stakeholders were interested in is finding a way to preserve the smaller buildings that are part of the character of the Pearl. The commissioner in 42, Commissioner Fritz's a proposed amendment is consistent with that point of view. It just sort of makes it clear. So for that one, I believe we're supporting 42. And on 43, it's about increasing the heights. And you can see that in this area around the 13th Avenue Historic District, that language is still in, and the language that's struck for a height increase is along the waterfront. So I know it's a little confusing. I apologize because we put the two together. But the height decrease here, or the height increase that is the subject for the proposed amendment, is just the Pearl District waterfront height increase.
Mayor, I'm having trouble tracking this. Mm-hmm. We have lots more amendments to get to. Would you object to me just can I just second this so we can
take them one at a time, maybe do 42 and then 43? Is there a difference?
42 sounds like we're okay.
Yeah. So is there a motion for 42? Somebody make a motion if you like it.
I'll move 42.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
All right, so that one's in. Now, 43, what do you want to do there?
What's your pleasure, Commissioner Fritz?
I don't understand why the Bureau is supporting what I'm proposing on 42 and not supporting it on 43.
So I will second the amendment so that it's open for discussion, Mayor. Because perhaps there's someone here who's going to testify and give us a perspective on that.
All right.
But I think
there was a motion for 43.
So I second the 43.
But I don't think there was a motion.
I put it on the table.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
He moved it.
He moved it. He seconded it. Okay. So that one's in as well.
And so what is that? Is that E?
43. E. 42 and 43 constitute E.
Okay.
And then A is done as well at this spot.
We still have to separately adopt A? Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Now, we still have F, which is 45 and 46.
Okay, 45 and 46 refer to the required residential overlay in Goose Hollow. It is an overlay that requires on land that's base zone is CX, residential development to be built as part of the development of any commercial development on the property. There's two sort of different amendments that apply to this. And if you can see the PowerPoint, the area that's sort of the north end, the northeast end of Goose Hollow, where there's a concentration of CX zoning, we're recommending removing the required residential overlay. The required residential overlay was adopted at a time when I think we didn't really know how development was going to perform in the central city vis-a-vis would residential be developed. We wanted residential. We thought one way to get it is to require it. What we've learned is that our mixed-use zones are actually producing a good deal of residential, and they're producing a good deal of commercial. Sometimes it's mixed and sometimes it's not, and most often it's not, but both the CX zone, the EX zone, and the Pearl, they allow residential to be built, they allow commercial to be built, and you're able to see both happen, and you end up with a mixed-use neighborhood. The overlay that requires it to be on the same site in the same building has proved to be an impediment to ever seeing commercial buildings be developed individually without a residential component as part of the mix. And so there's a belief that came through that Stakeholder Advisory Committee in our analysis convinced us of that we can still get a mixed-use district and remove this impediment to sites that really could be more successful as a sole commercial building if we leave the zoning but remove the required residential overlay. The way to think about this is this overlay applies to sites, for instance, that front onto Burnside. One could get a commercial building on Burnside. One could start to see new investment of a significant degree over there that could buoy the district and start a change and start to move us on a path of increased development in there. But it doesn't preclude also the inherent attractiveness of the central city and of Goose Hollow for a standalone residential building as well. Another good example is the Artist Rep Theater. Artist Rep Theater wants to expand, that's a commercial use, not a residential use. And so it's created this unnecessary impediment. We're not giving up on the goal of mixed use. We're just thinking that the overlay is not the best way to get there. And then there's a second site, the one that's over to the west, the smaller of these two circles.
Subject to 46.
46. And the discussion there is similar but different. This is largely a surface parking lot, I believe, and the concern that the required residential overlay requirement here was seeking to address was to prevent the development of a standalone parking garage that possibly could serve Multnomah, or the athletic club. The required residential overlay is one way to do that. There may be other ways to do that, though, that don't that just go more directly at the matter of maybe not allowing standalone parking structures that have to be part of a development that's got other uses in it. So that's, I believe, what we're proposing to go explore and bring back to the City Council tools that accomplish that end and not depend on the residential overlay to do that.
How does removing the residential requirement comply with our current comprehensive plan policy of no net loss of housing?
There's two no net loss of housing policies. One is the affordable housing no net loss, and that's not the one you're referring to. It's the citywide no net loss of housing policy. In the proposed comprehensive plan, we are not continuing that policy because not the affordable housing no net loss. There's a mandate that you can't change zoning out in the neighborhoods from one zone to another. The no net loss of housing policy that I believe you're referring to, Commissioner, is it comes from Metro. It doesn't count our mixed use zone as a legitimate way to provide residential development. And when we look at the track record, our mixed use zones are producing a ton of residential development. So
excuse me.
We don't believe that we still need that policy in that form. That's sort of the argument I'm trying to make here with the CX. When you look at how these areas are developed in the central city, these are producing mixed-use development. They're just not necessarily forcing it to be both commercial and residential development on one site. It'll be a residential site, a commercial site coexisting in a mixed-use neighborhood. And we've seen the volume of production, especially when you take a look at the history of the Pearl District, to be pretty substantial in both categories. So we think it's consistent with the no net loss. We think it's consistent with the goal in the comprehensive plan of producing housing and producing mixed-use neighborhoods.
So, Commissioner Fish, that actually impacts one of your amendments that you have in accordance with the city's no net loss policy.
But the no-net loss policy that I'm referring to applies to the inventory of deeply affordable units and a policy that says we won't go below a certain number without replacing it. It doesn't deal with the abstract notion about where we may be developing housing in the future. It's the existing inventory of affordable housing.
So we need to, I wasn't aware that we were going to be doing away with current comprehensive plan policies in this particular part of the process. We need to have a discussion about the current comprehensive plan policy on no net loss of housing, because it applies to things like changing the industrial lands inventory. It implies to a lot of things, and I'm very concerned if you're proposing to get rid of that current policy. We need to have that discussion.
No, let me maybe make myself more clear, Commissioner. CX zoning, our central city zones are mixed-use zones. And our mixed-use zones in the central city are producing mixed-use districts, which means that even in a CX and in our EX zones, we're seeing a lot of residential development.
Oh, I understand that. They don't have to have residential except in this area.
No, but they do. And so if we were to look at the numbers, if we were to look at the actual performance of where development is happening in the city, those zones objectively are producing residential development, supporting residential development, and producing mixed-use districts. So that's how we designed that tool actually to work, and lo and behold, it is. So we think it is. It would be consistent. We could make a finding that it is consistent with the no net loss of housing in the central city. We do not think this action at all will result in a loss of housing. And what we're seeing is that it's creating an impediment to seeing any development on of a significant scale on these lots.
Understood.
Well, colleagues, we have received probably most of the comments on these packages of amendments have been on this particular amendment. So I would suggest that there are people here who would like to testify about it. And so I move the amendment to, for discussion.
Both of them, 45 and 46?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second? Okay. I don't hear a second for those. So those are not on the table. So now we have remaining.